Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. You're awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know something about the Holy Spirit is it is such a sweet presence. And not only is it a sweet presence, it's a presence that can speak to the deepest of hurts and pains. Amen? And all you have to do is just entertain His presence for a moment, and it will do what a lifetime of therapy cannot do. Amen? I'm not saying that I don't advocate that you see a therapist or a licensed individual, but I'm telling you, there are some things that only the love of Christ can fix. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I have a message for you tonight, and I believe it is a timely message, and I want to speak to your heart from my heart tonight, okay? And allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me in that manner. I do want to give you a couple announcements, a couple things, and tell you. One clarification is that it is not 7 o'clock this Saturday. It is 9 o'clock in the morning. Some of you are saying, whew, thank you, Jesus. You know, get one more round of coffee before I go. You know, some of y'all, if we asked you to be there at 7 o'clock, there wouldn't be no makeup. And, you know, there'd be all kinds of things. I'm only kidding, but not really. It's at 9 o'clock, and yes, some of you I could hear your silence. You ever heard that before? Hear silence? Yeah, I heard your silence when he said next to High Octane Saloon. We're teaming up with some of you said, Pastor Steve's asking us to go to bar. It's at 9 in the morning. All right, I know some of you crazy Pentecostals, 9 in the morning don't mean a thing to you, but I know you are probably wondering, how did this happen? You know, and to be honest with you, I'm still a little flabbergasted too. But I'll give you a quick rundown because I know you are just intrigued to know. I don't know what happened. I know what happened. The Holy Spirit prompted me to do something, I believe, and it's just as simple, and I know a lot of you say, thank you, Justin, and all that, and I do appreciate that. I really do, but you really have to understand, all I did is just hear the Word of God and just act upon it, okay? That is it. And God said to me, I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me to create a Facebook group. That was it. And those of you that don't know, it's Citrus County Citizens Relief. Many of you have already joined it, and you're awesome, and you've spread the word and all that. And just to be a place to create a network so that people can, you know, get some help to others that are not getting help. And just so you know, and I'm not bashing the government, and I thank God for the people, not all of them, but, you know, some of them, that God has placed in authority to be able to, you know, help us. And I know a lot of them, their hands are tied, okay, and you have to understand that. I have heard, and it's okay. Don't be scared, okay? Don't be fearful. But I have heard that it may take several months before they actually declare Citrus County a natural disaster area. So that being said, that is a lot of government funds and stuff that will not be released to this area for a while, okay? So I know a lot of people have said, why isn't the government helping? They can't, okay? It takes the right person to sign the right order, and he happens to be in the Oval Office up in Washington, D.C., to sign the order to declare it, okay? It really is that, it has to go that high. Somebody from the City Council of Crystal River, I heard from them that it's going to take several months. Now that's the bad news, but the good news is ain't nobody said it's going to take several months for us to help anybody. Amen? Because God owns the cattle on the hill, and He owns the hill. Amen? And as long as you allow yourself to be a vessel of honor He'll use you. So what happened was, is I created this Facebook post, and then I saw through, I don't remember, one of my friends or something had posted something from Doug Doty, who owns High Octane Saloon. Now, I've known Doug Doty for a long time. He used to own a marina. That's how I know him. Not because I frequented the bar, I promise you. Okay, he used to own a marina, and he and I had some, not really business ventures, but more like ideas, I guess you should say. At one point in time, actually, I did do business with him one time. Never mind. So, anyways, yeah, squirrel, as Pastor says. The point is I said, I saw the video he posted about helping people with laundry. Now, you have to understand something. A bar owner did this, and I felt convicted, okay? He said, he goes, go do your laundry. And, I never thought about that. People are going to have to wash their laundry after it's wet. You know, it sours. He said, go do your laundry. He said, and they'll send me the bill. I said, my goodness, that's awesome. And so I added him on Facebook. And he messages me back. He says, Justin, this has to be a God thing. And I said, yeah. He said, I was literally looking your name up to add you. I said, well, thank you, Jesus. He said, let's do something for these people. And I said, okay. I said, well, I said, I have a few contacts. You have a few contacts. Let's call them. Okay. So we got this meeting together. And Susan Green from Home Assassin Walmart, awesome lady, wonderful person. We got on a conference call and she says, I tell you what. She says, we want to help you. We want to get together. We got a bunch of employees that want to donate their time and we want to do a community thing. I said, that's awesome. I'll spread the word. And so I spread the word. He spread the word. Pastor Steve has spread the word. And man, the response has been amazing. And I just want to say this. Thank you, Crystal River Church of God, for your response, because your response has been better than the bar and Walmart's. And that's the way it should be, but thank you. So, the good news also is that this opened the door. I had a meeting with the manager of Walmart today, and we're working through the hoops and pushing it in to get a grant, okay? And we're talking about a grant that could be, and I don't know the exact amount yet, but it could be up to $50,000 given to the church to help the flood victims. Amen? So I need you to be praying about that. I need you to be saying, God, we are asking for the will of God to move in this. We need you to move. And he'll tug on the right strings, right? The right heart strings. Because here's the situation, and a lot of you don't know. And I know I'm eating into my message, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. You guys got me up here early tonight. The thing is a lot of people have received food, and thank you for food. Clothes, even toys, and furniture. I had a lady donate basically a whole house of furniture. She says it's in a storage room. She says, I'm paying storage on it, and I don't need it. She said, give it to somebody. So I said, okay, so I've got to go get that. Now, I'm looking for a place to put it, but we're working on the guy that owns the mall. He just purchased the mall, and he probably will be donating us the use of the facility of the old Belk store right over there so that we can have a staging ground. Amen? Now, there are some things that go on in our church on a regular basis. El Shaddai Food Pantry, and I know they've fed some people. And the guy, some of you don't know this, and I hope I'm not embarrassing them when I say this. But Don and Penny Merrill are wonderful people right here. They're awesome individuals. They feed people on a regular basis. And a lot of you don't know this, but they suffered great loss during the flood. They did. And they're waiting on the right people to make the right connections and all that. And I'm praying for favor in their life that God will make that and expedite that. Amen? So you say, what are we really needing? The honest truth is all these people, we're going to be going into their house on Saturday, and unfortunately, I have prior engagements, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be doing work behind the scenes and doing work next week going into it. I don't want you to think I'm just setting this up so y'all can do the work and all that. I promise you that's not what's going on. But what's going to happen is these people, everything, we're pulling it out, getting rid of all that stuff, and then guess what? They've got no place to stay. So I've had many of them say, that's great, thank you, that's wonderful, but we've got no place to stay. And one of them in particular, she really touched my heart yesterday, as she said, my son's staying in another town, my daughter's staying in another town, I'm staying in this town, and we're all split up, just staying with people, and we're just disconnected. And that's really terrible in this time, you know, in a disaster like that, to be disconnected from your family. So what I'm trying to do is get that grant so that we can help people get into a home. We're not going to pay for them to have a year of rent free or anything like that, but at least get them in it. You know, if we got to help them with their first month or their security or whatever the case is, get them in a house that they can rent while we're taking care of and helping them with this other stuff, okay? So that's what I'm praying for, and that's what I need you to pray for, okay? And if you guys got connections, use those connections, okay? Absolutely, use those connections. People want to know places to donate clothes. I know we typically don't take clothes. I don't know if they're doing that. Are we taking clothes? Okay, El Shaddai Food Pantry is taking clothes. We can direct people here. I would rather direct people to our church because I want our church to be the light. Amen? And so that gives you a little bit of insight on why we're hooked up with a bar. Now, let me tell you this. And he said this to me before and didn't follow through on it, but he's going to follow through with it, is that he wants us to do a Christian motorcycle event there. Not this Saturday, but at a point in time in the future at his bar. I said, I don't know what he's going to do when we get all them crazy jokers saved, but, you know, that's all right. Right, Gypsy? That's all right. We can get them saved. Amen? All right. So that's what's going on. And, you know, Pastor Ronnie said this, and I promise I'm going to get to preaching. I promise. He goes, Justin, I want you to preach Wednesday. Now, he did not know this, but before this message I have, I'm going to blow it on you right now, that is something that is to deal with a little bit of what's going on here, but also some things going on in your life individually. But God gave me this message 2 weeks ago. Okay? 2 weeks ago. And then Pastor asked me to preach this Wednesday because he was over there. And he said, and he looks over at Danielle and he says, do you have nursery? And she says, no. And he goes, okay, good. And she goes, oh, thank you. I there's many times, and this is the truth, there's a lot of times I'm asked to preach. She has nursery. So it's just the way it works. And she goes, oh, I'd love to hear. And he goes, well, that's not why I'm doing it. She says, why? Well, because if you're in there, he'll behave himself. Because last time I preached, I said, listen, if this offends you, you can leave right now. And he says, you can't be telling 300 people to leave. I said, Pastor, there wasn't 300 people there. He goes, I know, but you know what I'm talking about. All I can say is that after they left, several people got the Holy Ghost. I guess that's what happens when the devils get out of the church. I love you all, and please don't leave, because I'll never hear the end of it if you do. All right, I want to direct your attention tonight to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, and I'm going to read basically that whole chapter. So not right now, though, Roderick, not right now. Chapter 37, verse 1 through 5. And when you have it, please say amen. And I'm actually going to be reading from the New International Version. That probably would have been good information to give you, wouldn't it, Broderick? Amen. Don't you just love Broderick? Isn't he an awesome help? Yeah. Yeah. I'm probably his least favorite preacher because I do this kind of stuff to him all the time. I'm not a really good notes person. I am like just whatever's up here kind of guy, if you can tell. And that messes him up. But anyways, he'll get over it. So the good news is I have the New International Version up here, and I'll say it. Chapter 37, verse 1 through 5 says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Indeed, they were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight. My title is, It's Time to Put an End to Dead Ends. Amen. Amen? Amen? It's time to put an end to dead ends. Let us pray this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for all that you have done. You're a mighty, merciful, awesome, powerful God. And I thank you, first of all, for favor. And I pray that you give this church favor with the community. And I pray, Lord, that you give this church the anointing that brings light. Let us have light like a city on the hill. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak into this place. I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to hear your word, to allow the word to cultivate in our hearts, and for us to let it be sown on good ground so that life may spring forth. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to these people because, Lord, if I speak, I'm just a man with a lot of foolish words. But if you speak through me, lives can be changed. And I pray, Lord, that you would do all of this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. It's time to put an end to dead ends. And what I mean by that is I don't know about you, but there becomes this almost habitual pattern of endings, dead ends. That's a really nice picture you got there, Broderick. Of dead ends. It's just, you go down this road and it seems like that doesn't work out. And you say, well, let me try this way. Well, that doesn't work out. Well, let me try this way. Well, that doesn't work out. And before too long, that can be very discouraging to somebody. Because they can say, maybe the problem's not all the roads, but it's me. God, what's wrong with me? Do you not want me to succeed? Do you not love me? Do you not care for me? Do you not desire to have a relationship with me? Is there something wrong with me? And in this phrase, I believe we all could say that this phrase probably resonates to most of us in some way or another. But some of you here, it may feel as if your life has been full of dead ends. Full of them. Almost as if your life is a constant dead end. And some of you are probably better at hiding it than others. And when people ask you, you know, are you all right? And you know how people are. They'll say, you know, better than I deserve. Or they'll say, you know, it could be worse. Or I'm all right. And we really know, and you and I both know, that that is usually just a front to say, you know, no, I'm not doing good at all. But I don't want you to spend time on sitting around here and pandering to me. Just leave me alone. I'll be all right. I'll figure it out. It'll be okay. Or maybe sometimes they even use that as a pride tool. As that they feel like, I can handle this. How dare you say that I can't do this? And truth is, none of those things really help anybody. And they certainly don't take care of the problem. And it may feel almost as if the breath of life has been knocked out of you. And I know you probably, if I'm speaking to you tonight, you probably feel that you have no energy left to fight for what is left. That even that last little bit that's left, you say, that's great, but I am just so spent on life. I am just so tired. I am just so done. I can't take it anymore. I can't give anymore. I've done all that I could do. I've tried and tried to reconcile with my husband. I've tried and tried to reconcile with my wife. I've tried and tried to reconcile with my children. But it just cannot happen. Maybe you say, I've tried for this job. I've tried for that job. I've applied here. I've applied there. And yet nothing seems to work out. Maybe you bounce from job to job to job because every time you go somewhere, something is just not clicking. Yes, maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's you. But maybe it's not you. Maybe it is that you have not operated in the place that you've been called to be your whole entire life. Now, I say that, but I also say this. I believe that any job you have, you ought to act like. And here's what the CEO of Sony said. They said, what would you do? And this is a individual that worked their way up from the skilled labor position all the way up to the position of CEO. And they said, what could you tell young people coming out of high school that are about to enter into college or the career force? And they said, you treat every job as if it is the greatest job you've ever had in your life. Every job. That means if you're flipping hamburgers, that means if you're cleaning the toilets, that means if you're a nurse or even a doctor or so on, or you're doing all those things, you need to understand that you have purpose and you have purpose there. Amen? Amen? Amen. And let me tell you a story tonight. I believe this story probably will help you. It is a story, and I want to tell you this and give you kind of a disclaimer. It is a little bit disheartening, but if you listen to the whole story, you will find out the purpose of this. In 1991, a rebel stormed a small village in Liberia, and they roared into the village with no warning and unleashed waves of terror. The first house they stormed was the home of Sabie Brown, and her father worked for the government that they were rebelling against. They bound, beat, and tortured her father before ultimately killing him. And Sabie was restrained and forced to watch. Then the rebels tore Sabie's infant son from her and then assaulted her, brutalized her, and left her and her son to die. Left for dead with little food and less hope, Sabie and her son managed to escape into the scrub brush wilderness to hide out for more than a month with a little infant child. Later, a family took them in, but after 3 months, asked them to leave. So now, Sabie, homeless, helpless, and penniless, this young mother and her baby are at a dead end. In March 12, 1992, Sabie and her son arrived in a refugee camp in Ghana. With tens of thousands of refugees fleeing the terror, she felt crowded but yet even still alone. She found comfort in a relationship with another refugee, and after he giving her two more children, he left her too. Yet another dead end. Through a church agency, she was able to relocate to America, where she was provided with a furnished apartment in Chicago. The children were malnourished and needed medical attention. And most of all, they all needed hope. 2 years later, after being moved around by the apartment management company, Sabie and her children found themselves in the basement apartment of a ruined down building. The electricity was often sporadic. The pipes broke, flooded the apartment often. Cockroaches and mice were plentiful, and vagabonds often filled the halls. Another dead end. Eventually, the same church that helped her before was able to get her into a clean and safe apartment. And today, Sabie works, her kids go to school, and they are an integral part of the community that they live in. To ask her if this were possible before, she would have said, it was all hopeless. It was a lost cause, a dead end. Now I say, what a story. I mean, realistically, I know that at times I have looked at myself and said, man, this is terrible. This is terrible. And you know, there are situations, and I've shared my testimony before about different things that have happened in my life and you know, how heartbroken I felt at times. But you know, when I look at it and really looking into the bigger picture, you know, there are a lot of things that are a lot worse. There are things that could happen that would be could be devastating. I mean, I could not imagine watching somebody terrorize and brutally murder a loved one of mine. That would just be absolutely insane. And I can tell you this, I know the kind of person I am that I probably would not do well with that. I would probably be one of those people, and I know this is going to shock you, I would probably be one of those people to walk up in the middle of that joint afterwards with whatever I had and just take out as many of them as I could. That's just the kind of person that I would be in that situation. Now, by the grace of God, I don't act that way. Amen? And some of you are saying, well, I didn't know that. And you think the same way. But the point is I just couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine those things. I couldn't imagine to have to see that occur. I mean, could you imagine those things? And specifically, it's something like Pastor Ronnie was talking about, one of the families in our church, and those of you that came and helped, thank you. We went in there and we began to undo, and at first I walked in there and it was just like it was any other job. You know, I'm going in here to do a job and we're going to do something. And then I began to see the photos that we were carrying out and the artwork and the sentimental things that were a lifetime of collections. And we were carrying them to the streets. And I was asking them, I said, what about this? And they said, honey, it's damaged. I said, are you sure? Take it. Okay. And I just felt so heartbroken, like, man, that's terrible to have to do that. You know, and I know what that's like a little bit. My family went through the no-name storm that we called it. It's funny. A storm that had no name has such a big name. The no-name storm, you know, we went through that in 93. And my grandmother and stuff, they all went through that. And my grandmother, she kept photos under her bed and they all were destroyed. But she also kept canned goods. And when they opened the door and the water came out, all these canned goods just went out in the street. It was kind of funny. But the point is, you know, I know what that kind of devastation can bring. And sometimes we forget. And then we forget that the person next to us is going through some things too in their life. And people are going through chemotherapy. And man, what a terrible, terrible thing to have to endure. And people are going through, maybe they just lost a loved one. And those people that have lost children, man, I just cannot imagine what that must feel like. That has got to be like getting your heart torn out of your chest. I really don't imagine what that's like. And I don't ever, and I bind the devil in Jesus' name, don't want to ever feel that feeling. But I just think about these things of people that have to deal with that. And people that go through divorces. And yeah, at first it just seems like they're arguing and they're bitter at each other and they're mad at each other. But deep down they're hurt at each other. They're hurt. And to have that feeling in your life on a regular basis, what a terrible thing that must feel like. And I've been there. And I know what that's like to feel like that every time you stand up to the plate, you strike out. And I'm reflecting on and drawn to the scripture tonight out of the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. And the prophet Ezekiel, he shared a little bit of the same thing. And often we quote that scripture and that chapter as a story of resurrection. And though it is a story of resurrection of a nation, we think of it as, oh man, God can take bones and take them out of the ground. And I'm telling you right now, I have faith that God can do a lot of things. And I believe he can do that. But that's not what it's talking about. It's a metaphor. It's talking about somebody that lost everything. And not just one person. It's talking about a nation that lost everything. To the point that they lost their nation. Not only did they lose their nation, but they walked away and abandoned their God. What a state of devastation. In Ezekiel, that prophet is sitting there and he's reflecting on his nation. And Israel was in captivity of Babylon. Their land was ravaged. Their temple was destroyed. And their family scattered. And they were at a dead end. Ezekiel calls to God for answers. He says, God, I need you to speak to me. Why is this happening in my life? And God takes them off into a vision, into a valley of dry bones. In Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 4 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you know. You alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You see, Ezekiel is looking off into a land that almost seems helpless and hopeless, and he sees nothing but bones. And I'm sure probably what went through his mind, and I know most Bible scholars talk about this, that he saw the nation of Israel as a ruin. And he's looking out into this vision, this valley, and it looks total like a total wreck, almost like Armageddon had occurred. And God asked him a simple question. He says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel probably thought, and I can imagine, this is my own humor and my own commentary. Okay, this didn't come from Adam Clark or Matthew Henry, but I'm thinking, Ezekiel probably said, God, are you serious? Are you serious right now? You just asked me if these bones can live. Some of them bones don't have any cartilage left. I can't even tell if this one had a nose. And you're asking me if they can live? Are you serious? In other words, he's thinking, and then he says, God, you know what? Only you could know that. And you know, that phrase sounds a little silly, but it, in my opinion, it sounds an often lot like, well, you know what? All we can do is pray now. All we got left to do is pray. Like, in other words, that's the last resort. Or, and then you always hear, is it that bad? You know, is it really that bad that all you can do is pray now? You know, is it that good that you've got a prayer, that you've got an answer, that yes, there's still a chance for a miracle? Now, I just want to interject something to you right now. If God created man from the dust of the earth, he can take some bones and put flesh back on it and create whatever he needs. And I know some of you are saying, well, that's a little radical. I mean to tell you that if all you have left in your family is just a picture you're holding on to, if all you have left is just a memory that you're holding on to, if all you have left is just one scripture that you speak about on a regular basis, honey, you've got something that can move a mountain. God, only you can know. God didn't ask him for the facts. He didn't ask him, say, give me your biological test of what you think could occur. Go ahead and give me your hypotheses. No. He said he wanted Ezekiel to use a little bit of faith. That what Ezekiel, he was trying to say, Ezekiel, what's your perception of this? What's your perception? And the reality is, Ezekiel's perception is exactly that. That it was a valley of dry bones. That there was nothing left. That Israel was ruined. That it would be a fated nation in history. Something like, I believe that this nation's very dangerous of becoming if we don't stand up as Christians and do what a Christian ought to do and spread the word of God. And here's something, totally off subject. But a lot of people say, you know, oh man, liberalism's crept into America. What are we going to do? It has gone so far the other direction. What are we going to do? They are letting anything go. Anything go. Man, how did this happen? Satan's gotten our country. No, we have left our country. If we were out in the highways and the byways, if we were spreading the gospel like we should be, if we were giving the word of God in love and grace like he's called us to do, this nation would not be there, because they would love Jesus so much that they would not care about what the rest of the world thinks. They wouldn't care about what Europe thinks. They wouldn't care about what China thinks. They wouldn't care about what Russia thinks. They'd say, what does the word of God say? Benjamin Franklin said this once. He was asked, he said to him, they said, elderly woman comes up to him and she says, Dr. Franklin, so do we have a monarchy or do we have a republic? And this was when he walked into Independence Hall and they were beginning to form the Constitution of the United States, which, in my opinion, second to the Bible, is one of the greatest documents ever written. And he says, ma'am, a republic, if you can keep it. And what that means is, it's up to us. It's up to you to spread the word of God. If we are being disciples, we don't have to worry. Yes, you should vote. That is the American thing to do. And if you don't vote, don't complain, because I don't want to hear it. But if we spread the word of God, His truth, His love will supersede any other agenda. It will supersede any other thing. So even if it looks like all that's left is a valley of dry bones, when His word is spoken, it comes to life. God didn't ask him for the facts. He said, what's your perception? What do you see? What do you believe that can happen, Ezekiel? What do you think can happen? And Ezekiel says, I don't know, God. Only you know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In other words, he says, you speak to it. Ezekiel, speak to the bones. You know, sometimes you got to say it before you really believe it. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's got to come out of your mouth before it's in your heart. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? Cancer, die in the name of Jesus. Doctors are saying it's growing, it's metastasized, and you're saying, cancer, die in the name of Jesus. Everybody around you is saying, leave her, get on, move on, and you're saying, no, there's still hope. There's still something left. Everybody else is saying, you know what? Why don't you just curse God and die? And you're saying, you speak like a foolish individual. I will not curse God. I will not curse the only one that's given me everything I got, because the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Declare it. Declare the word over your situation. Speak to it. Say, you know what? It ain't always going to be like this. It ain't always going to be like this. It's not going to be like this. I tell you this, Pastor Ronnie, what he said Sunday morning, that was one of the things that spoke to me quite vividly, is whenever him and his wife, whenever they were at their first church, and they would look at each other and say, it ain't always going to be like this. It ain't always going to be like this. I'm here to tell you guys, it ain't always going to be like this. The dead ends will eventually open up new horizons, and doors will open up that you've never walked through before. God will open the doors. Hallelujah. Speak to it. Jeremiah 29 and 11. You have to understand what God, what He thinks. You say, well, I don't know really what God thinks about this situation. And I've heard people say, well, what if God really wants me to suffer? What if God really wants me to have a life of poverty? Now, here's something. Listen. Poverty is a mindset. Okay? Poverty is a mindset. Okay? Poor is a mindset. You can have little money and be rich. Amen. It's very possible. Okay? Matter of fact, I live that way right now. It's very possible. Okay? Because when you look to the direction of where your help comes from, you're not looking at, oh, what's Uncle Sam going to give me? Oh, what's my boss man going to give me? Oh, what's this? It doesn't matter if they give you anything. Keep doing what you know to be right and just keep focusing on what God's got in store for you. And I promise you, that dead end will open up. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hope and a future. That means not only is He going to help you for right now, but He's got something on the horizon for tomorrow. He's got something on the horizon for next month. He's got something on the horizon for next year. And you know what the best thing to do in that is don't turn off the flow. When it starts flowing, don't turn off the flow. You know how people like to turn off the flow and just hoard it up for right now? Don't turn off the flow. Let it come in and go out. Let it come in and go out. I'm not saying to be careless. I'm not saying don't plan for retirement. I do, and I believe that's important. I'm saying you ought not to let money, finances, health, anything hold you in a box. Don't let it hold you under. My God is bigger than that. My God can do anything. If He said it in His word, it's for you. I want you to know this, and I know I say this, but I like to think it's a little bit like my motto. You have come way too late to tell me my God doesn't heal. You have come way too late to say my God doesn't perform miracles. I've seen the blind see. I've seen the deaf hear. I've seen the lame walk and the dead raised. I'm here to tell you my God can do anything. And all of that was in the United States of America. Ezekiel 37 and 5 through 6 said, This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And then you will know. He said, just speak to that situation and I'll take care of the rest. Speak to it. Speak to the bones. This is what the word says. I'll make breath come into you. Now, if you feel like the breath of life has been knocked out of you, I'm here to tell you that God is about to give you the breath of God. He's about to fill you with the breath of God. That life-saving breath where he comes in and he just speaks over you. I love it whenever the prophet was sitting under the juniper tree, it wasn't in the fire or the wind, it was in the still small voice. In other words, whenever he just comes and he just whispers quietly. And it's at those times when you are sitting underneath the tree, when you are sitting in the darkest places of your life and nothing feels like there is left to do, and it feels almost as if there has only been dead ends in your life, and you just hear God say, you can make it. Amen. And that's all you need. It's like a supercharge of energy. It comes in you and you say, my God, I can make it at least one more day. I can make it at least one more week. But I'm here to tell you, my God said he is not only going to get you through today and get you through tomorrow, but you've got a future. Yeah. Ezekiel 37:7 said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. Bone to bone, I looked at, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds, and breath into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. They say this, but this is what God says. They say you'll never make it. They say you'll never be an A student. They say you'll never get through college. They say you'll never get through your life. They say you'll never be a mother or a father. They say you'll never do this, but this is what God says. My people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord that hath spoken. And I have done it, declares the Lord. He begins to declare the word and something begins to take place. He starts to hear something. Look over at your neighbor and say, listen, I hear something happening. I hear some rattling in the bones. I hear some rattling in the wind. Something's taking place. Then the word says that there was a coming together. Let me tell you this, before God can put lungs and eyeballs and hair and all that, there has to be a coming together. Church, we've got to come together. If you want God to move and get rid of your dead ends, the only way that's going to happen is if we work together. We put aside our differences, we put aside the things we like and dislike, and we say, you know what, we're going to one common goal, and that's to see this world saved. I might be a little radical in my thinking, but I believe that God has the power to save every individual on this planet. All 7 billion of them. I believe it. He says that there was a coming together. A coming together. That means that some dead ends occur. Because you haven't come together. You haven't come together. Israel was a divided nation before it went into Babylon. And it's a shame that sometimes God has to allow people to go through bondage before they can learn how to come together. He has to lock them up in chains by each other before they can learn to work with each other. I don't know. Maybe that's not for you. That so much to the point that they went, they instead of, and if you know anything about the history, instead of working together and fighting against the battle, one kingdom fell, then the next thing you know, the next kingdom fell, Israel and Judah. And he says, I'm going to bring Israel and Judah back to one house. They're going to come together. In other words, in the midst of this dead end, here's what God's doing for you. He's bringing you together with people because you're learning. I can't get over this hill without somebody else. I can't get through this dead end without somebody else linked up. That's why it is so important that you come to church. Forsake not the assembling together, so much the more as that day approaches. It's important that you come together and you learn. Listen, my weaknesses are strengthened by your strengths. Your weaknesses are strengthened by my strengths. We're going to work on this together. And what you can't do, I'll do. What I can't do, you'll do. We'll love one another and we'll love everybody else in the midst. And we'll get through this because these dead ends are done. These dead ends are over with. These dry bones will have life, but the bones got to come together first. That means no more Democrat or Republican. That means that there is no more white church and black church and Asian church and this church and that church. And why we want to say, oh, there's so much racism in America. Well, how dare we let racism in the church? Let's just have church. Amen. We are the body of Christ. And the truth of the matter is we are all adopted Jews anyhow. Amen? Or I'm not going there because so-and-so goes there. Or I'm not going there because my ex goes there. And sometimes I understand that. But you know what? We got a large church. One can sit over there and one can sit over there. Amen? Well, I'm not going there because they know my business. Guess what, honey? You post it on Facebook. Everybody knows your business. Facebook is the bathroom wall of the internet. There's got to be a coming together. Amen. There's got to be saying, you know what, I can help you with what you got going on. You know, and I'm guilty of this, and I want you to know something, that I have been very guilty of this. That I do this, and this, and this, and that's it. And do what I'm supposed to do, and leave here, and I'm a good Christian. No. If I have not affected your life, I'm not a good Christian. Amen. In some way, shape, or form. Some more than others. I understand that. Some more than others. You can't go around just helping everybody. I understand that. I can tell you this. My wife, and I don't want to embarrass her, but I'm about to, I think. But my wife, which in my opinion, and I'm not saying this because she's in here. I say this if she wasn't, is a wonderful, wonderful person. And I'm very lucky. And she shared some things, you know, some insecurities that she didn't feel like she was a very good Christian and so on. And I said, you know, honey, I don't buy that. What do you mean? I don't buy it. Let me tell you why. Because our neighborhood drunk comes over to our house every day just so you can inject light into her life. Every day. She brings her tall boy with her. But every day, Wyatt calls it her dizzy drink. She brings... That's the truth. Every day, she'll come over. Is Danielle here? Yes, Kristen, she's right here. She comes, thank you, I brought some grapes for Wyatt and the kids. I'm like, okay, Kristen, I'm going outside. And she comes over and she bruises on her and things. She's been abused and things in her life, and Danielle just ministers to her. Another lady walking down the street during revival, crazy thing, and she's just crying. Danielle sees her walking down the street with a baby, and so Danielle pulls over, and I tell her, honey, don't pull over unless you got your gun. So she pulls over and she says, are you okay? Do you need a ride? And I don't know. I wasn't there. But she somehow talked her into coming to church, and she came. Amen. And She came up here and got prayer, and I walk over to pray for her, and she looks up at me, and she goes, like that. And I'm like, oh, my God, I scare her. What'd I do, you know? And she had bruises all over her body, and her husband had beat her that day. And she's shaking because she is so traumatized. And she looks up at me, and she goes, I know you. And I'm like, okay. And I'm looking at her, and then I recognized her. I had went to school with her. She looked like she was 15 years older than me. I know I look young, but she looked like she was 15 years older than me. I didn't recognize her at first, and I look at her. I go, oh, yeah. And you know, the sad thing is I remember her as being such a happy child on the school bus and doing some, you know, just so happy and to be there and live life and then to see that. And I said, oh, my God, how life, you know, and but for the grace of God, so could I. Okay? And, you know, those things, and I'm not saying that because I understand certain things happen. But too many times, we can look at situations and we can say, those are nothing but dry bones. There's nothing left. There's nothing left there to give. They are so far gone, or we say, they don't want help. Yeah, they might not want help, but let me tell you something. I'm the kind of guy that I'll give you so much Jesus that eventually you'll like it.
Amen.
Amen? And yeah, I understand. Sometimes they don't want help, but, you know, dry bones. Or how quick. You know, one thing that happened when Danielle and I were first married is we used to throw around that word divorce so easy. And you're saying, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay? And then one day, I don't remember, we got to stop saying that. That's just stupid. You know, because ain't nobody, we ain't going to divorce. For one, you cook way too good and, you know, you don't want to go back to your crazy home, so. And it ain't no, I'm not getting rid of you, and I hope she don't want to get rid of me. And so you got to learn that, you know something, you can't just look at every situation like it's a lost cause. And I say that because you can't look at your situation like it's a lost cause. Quit giving up on yourself so easy. You need to get some grit in yourself and say, you know what, devil? You got me down on that one, but I'm ready for the next one. Come on in for it. Because when you start coming together, isn't it awesome when you start talking to people around you and you realize they got baggage and they got this and they got that, but God got them through it. And you say, you know what? If God can get you through that, He can get me through this. And you know what? All of a sudden, the tendons begin to grow and life begins to come back. And God breathes into that dead situation. Tonight I say, no more dead ends. No more dead ends. No more dead ends. And speak that over your life. No more dead ends. I refuse to look at it like a dead end. It's just a hurdle that we got to get over. And we will get over it. Amen. 37:15 says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it belonging to Judah. And the Israelites associated with him, then take another stick of wood and write on it belonging to Joseph, that is to Ephraim, and all the Israelites associated with it. Join them together into one stick so that they will become one in your hand. When your people ask you, won't you tell us what you mean by this? Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am going to take a stick of Joseph, which is Ephraim's hand, and a stick of the Israelite tribes associated with him, and join it to Judah's stick. I will make them into a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand. One in my hand. When you come together and you begin to realize we feed off of each other and we feed faith off of each other, and you become one in God's hand. And what a mighty force you can be at that time. God is about to rebuild His kingdom, folks. He is about to rebuild His kingdom in your life. Josh, if you'll come. Prophesy to this. Speak to this situation. Tell it no more dead ends. That's the end of it. No more. I refuse to give up on myself again. I refuse. I don't know who you are in this place. I know some of you, and I know some of your stories, but I don't know everybody's story. And the truth is, even some of you, you act really good, and like everything's okay, and you know what? You probably are okay, but God didn't call you to be okay. He called you to be an overcomer. Amen? And you say, Justin, I just don't have the faith. I just don't have what it takes. I understand the analogy between the dead bones. And yes, I believe that what's going on in my life, what's going on in everything right now is, it looks like a valley of dead bones. But I don't have the faith to hear God speak. Let me just tell you something. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now I have quoted that scripture a lot and not quite grasped the entirety of it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So in other words, faith is the product of hope. Now, what that means is, I don't know about you, sometimes it is hard to have faith. Sometimes it's even hard to have faith as to whether God exists. But one thing you can do quite easily is hope. You can hope to get out of this. You can hope that there is a God in the universe that is looking down on you and cares for you. Because hope really doesn't require much. It's just a matter of a heart saying, I want out of where I'm at. And hope produces faith. Faith is the product of things hoped for. Everyone stand in this place. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I want to do is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in here, I want to pray with you and give you that opportunity to know Him. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you would like to, would you raise your hand in this place? Anybody in this place? Now, I'm going to assume that everyone's saved in here. And it's a Wednesday night. That's probably true. But it may not be. But that's okay. If you didn't raise your hand and you felt uncomfortable, but you want to say it, and you want to mean it in your heart, all you have to do is admit you are in need of a Savior, believe that Christ died for you, and then confess with your mouth that you believe in Him. Now, it's easy to be a believer, but are there any followers in here tonight? Followers. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to follow Him. Because I'm tired of dead ends. I'm tired of dead ends. I'm tired of coming up short. I'm tired of feeling like I don't have the energy to fight. If that's you here tonight and you would like prayer, I'm going to ask that the Spirit Life team would make their way right now. If you would like prayer, would you please come forward and we'll pray with you. There's no reason to be ashamed. There's no reason to be scared. You don't have to feel overwhelmed. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to look at you differently. We all need to come to this realization that we need Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rest of you that are still here, I want to pray over you. And then as we worship and we entertain the presence of God, you may be dismissed or you may stay and pray with the people. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great congregation. I pray, Father, that you bring them together. Allow them to work together and to learn how they can benefit from one another, but also be a benefit to others. I pray that they're a blessing to others. I pray, Lord, that you allow us to be a blessing. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you restore hope in their life. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Thank you. If you need prayer up here, please come right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.